One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora. A novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal, the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Higher, baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, Navi Mendoza, and Kip Watson.
Say that with the roll of the R.
Oh my gosh, I love doing that. Oh my
I can't
gosh.
Even roll my R's. Isn't that terrible?
Well, you know, I don't really, I can do it with Barrientos, but I can't do it, and I didn't even do it that well that time, but, you know, it's a spinoff of Gloria Campos, you know, here locally in Dallas, if you're listening in California on KMET. So there's a local newscaster here, and she's beloved. Everybody loves her. She's been on the air for years, and but she'll be going along, like, talking, you know, like, speaking just regular English, and then she'll say her name, and it's Gloria Campos.
She has to let y'all know.
Everybody loves her, so, yeah, anyway, that's... I just used to always think that was so funny.
Well, you were making fun of me before we came on air about my enunciation. But I think when you've spent any time in broadcasting, you...
Well, I'm trying
you
not to
start doing that.
Well, you know, I'm trying not to swear so much, and it's really hard when you have a teenager that accuses you of being like part of the patriarchy. What did she say?
She said that. You're a slave to the patriarchy.
You're a slave to the patriarchy, Mom, because I was telling her to dress more appropriately, you know, to, you know, if your legs are exposed, then cover up your top. If your top's exposed, you know, like, you just, you know, she's like, you're a slave to the patriarchy, Mom. I'm like, okay, have a good day. I'll talk to you later. Then I forget. She says these things to me. And so I'm trying not to get, like, super aggravated. Yeah. And then there's the old clean your room, you know, keep in your room. I feel like discipline is the key to almost everything in life, you know, that and communication.
You should get excited about self-discipline.
And so, you know, trying to get her to keep her room tidy has been like a big chore. And then for Halloween last week, she used like this spray hair dye, and I have a forbidden everyone in it's myself and my two girls. Of course, Vinny's off at college at OU, but anyway, so no, after having multiple experiences with crazy hair dye almost destroying the back end of the house with it going through the air, whether it's blue or red or purple or orange. There's a rule in the house. No spray, no hair dye, no nothing is allowed in the house. Now I've extended it to
like
the whole property.
Go outside
because so she had a Halloween. I forget who she was trying to be, but she sprayed her hair all red. And I was out in the kitchen cooking, and I didn't know what was going on. And after she left to go with her dad, this was like last Thursday, my whole back of the house
it gets
had
everywhere.
Pink everywhere. Oh, it gets better. The new chair that I had custom made
stained.
Oh, no.
Had pink all over it because the cats were stepping in the pink, and they love getting up on the chair.
Oh, man.
And so I've had my patients tested. Okay?
And then the cats peed on the drapes.
So, and then my drapes that I've waited 10 years for, okay?
They're
they
so
just
beautiful.
Installed them. They're so beautiful. I had them installed like a week ago. Mm-hmm. Yesterday morning, I sobbed my eyes out because they had peed all over the bottom of one side of them. I couldn't even stay in the room. I just walked out and just sobbed because I was so broken from it.
So here's the lesson I'm hearing. If you want to have a nice looking house with custom stuff, like don't have kids or animals.
pretty much. Pretty much. And I waited 10 years and I didn't spend a whole lot of money because I got to get a really good deal. And I can't remember the name of the place. In fact, I need to go back there because I bought a really good headboard for her room on sale for like, I don't know, like $200. It's beautiful. It's all tufted and it's gray linen. It matches the whole thing that I did. And I did it on my own. I didn't hire a designer. I've got good taste. And I didn't spend, I didn't break the bank. But I waited 10 years to get these drapes in my house and the cats peed on them. And so I was just beside myself. But I find myself, instead of trying to swear, like super enunciate like you do.
Yes.
Like if you would listen
to
you
me.
Know, to me. Yeah, and I find myself doing that. And she actually said, you sound like Kip Watson.
No. She did. So funny. What a stinker.
Whoa. Yeah, she's been a stinker.
Well, you can just be like, oh my head.
Yeah.
But I just rub it in a little bit more.
Pink.
Well, you know.
Everywhere.
Pink everywhere. It was, I mean, literally everywhere in my back bathroom. I mean, everywhere. All over the stone.
Well, it
took a
one
couple
of those
of
situations
hours.
Where now you could work it into the decor?
No. No. But I think we finally have gotten rid of all the residual. And so, yeah.
Because I'm imagining that's not going to come out.
It did come out. But wow. I've had it before. One time Vinny did something with her hair with a red dye and the shower was pink for a couple of years in this one spot. And it finally went away. But, you know, it's a beautiful home and it's got real expensive stone in it. Any kind of finish out like that in a bathroom, you know, you have to be careful with it. And I grew up in a home that, you know, like we put pictures over holes in the wall.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it works. I've worked really hard.
I've
worked really hard, you know, to maintain my home and keep it nice. And I, like I said, I waited 10 years for these drapes. And I finally felt like, okay, I've earned the right to have some really nice drapes, plus for the privacy
thinking
and everything.
Thinking that it was safe to
and
now
it was safe.
Have them.
I thought that the cats understood, you know. I talked to them ahead
right,
of time.
I know, really?
Yeah.
Like, what's
nothing
up with
safe.
That?
Oh, my gosh. But I do, you know, gratitude. I do have a lot of gratitude in my life. And you're like, where's that coming from? Because Dr. Art Markman is going to be on the show coming up here in just a minute, talking about gratitude may increase self-control. Because I really did exercise self-control. Most people would have lost their freaking minds had that happened to them.
Right.
I sobbed for a couple of minutes.
I'm proud of you.
And then I went to work. You know? I went to work and so, you know.
Turned it around.
Cleaned it up. Soaked them. Cleaned them.
And in control.
And in control. But I mean, sometimes I lose my control. I do. I did lose my control
I'm
with
shocked.
My daughter last week.
Shocked.
I got really, really angry and I swore a lot. And I was like, oh my gosh. I have to stop this. And I typically don't do it, but everybody has a breaking point, you know, don't you think?
Yeah, most people do. It takes a lot to get me there, but I've been there a few times.
Well, I just get tired of cleaning. I've been cleaning up after other people my whole life, starting at
well,
like 7 years old, I swear.
Choices to do that with
well,
all
I grew
those
up
animals.
In a big family, and so my sister, speaking of big family, oh my gosh. Okay, I was going to say
don't
a big Catholic
all those
family.
Animals and you won't have to clean up every single
well,
day.
Well, you know what? They all would be on the street or they'd be dead, and I love them, and I have gratitude for them. They add a lot of beautiful moments to my life, and so...
So you're
you know,
willing to clean
yes,
in order to
I am.
Have those
I
moments.
Don't mind cleaning up after animals. It's grown humans that I mind cleaning up. Although
grown
I have to
humans.
Say, so you're going to, so the sweater I have on?
Right.
I okay, so this morning, one of the cats knocked it off the table, and yes. then Pretzel was out because of the rain, they didn't want to go out. They don't like to get their paws wet. So anytime the weather is raining here in Dallas, I have extra trouble. I think it was Pretzel. Pretty sure it was Pretzel. Because he was the only one that was in the territory, and he's a boy, and they peed on my sweater, my freshly washed sweater that I hand washed last night, peed on my sweater and my boots.
It is so a very beautiful sweater.
Thank you. I soaked up the pee and then sprayed it with cleaner and then soaked up the cleaner, and this is a freshly peed washed sweater that I have on right now.
Peed washed sweater.
Peed washed sweater.
Well, at least it wasn't poop.
At least it wasn't poop. Well, if it's poop, I wouldn't have worn
Ooh,
it.
Yeah.
But you
yeah.
know, pee, you can like sop up because it's, I don't know, because of the, anyway, I was going to talk about the Texas Catholic letter or newsletter that I got in the mail today, and I'm not a Texas Catholic. I used to be a Catholic, but it was funny. So you heard me griping before
I
the
know.
Show.
But
I'm like, why are they sending this
that.
To me?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we started talking about it. It wasn't, you know what? It wasn't me. It was another woman, but she had an address similar to me. So it ended up in my mailbox. But the Texas Catholic, we were talking about confessions. That's kind of what you're talking. You're not talking about confessions, but you're talking today, Kip Watson, about
yes.
self-help or self-destruction. Modern therapy could be hurting you rather than helping you.
Yeah. I think you got to be careful and be really wise and discerning when you pick a therapist.
Yeah, no, I agree. And because it's expensive, number one, both in time and money,
yep.
but well invested if you're getting results. But you talked about confessions, which kind of, I think, is the Catholic Church the only one that does confessions?
No.
No?
Really? It's a practice of the Christian faith.
Yeah.
Now, I think,
well, they used to line us up in the halls at Sacred Heart when I was a kid.
There are some denominations
yeah.
of which they're one of them of the Christian
uh-huh.
faith that have a more organized.
It was so creepy too.
Discipline of doing confession, but it is a spiritual discipline of the Christian faith that is basically where you take ownership of your sin.
Yeah.
Right. And
don't most people do that naturally?
No. Oh heavens, no.
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 Well, see, that's a good part about the Catholic
that,
Church.
But we've now, and I'm going to get into that, but we've now become where we've stopped calling it sin, and we call it disease or dysfunction, or I made mm-hmm. a mistake, and we're not owning our shiza.
Well, they used to bring the portable confession like to the school instead of
what?
Making us all go to the
what?
Church. Oh, yeah. They had a portable confession like thing. It's a wooden thing that had like a curtain in the priest would stand behind it,
oh,
and
gotcha.
You'd line up in the halls, and sometimes even they would do that in high school too, and they would multitask too. They would check your hem length of your uniform to make sure you didn't do what I used to do, which is to take it up all the time and make
to
it a little
your
shorter
skirt, roll it yeah. from the top.
Right. I got caught twice.
They girls still do that today.
Oh,
but,
for
yeah.
sure.
But the confession in the book of James in the New Testament, it talks about confess your sins to one another and find healing.
Yeah.
So it's a part of the healing, taking responsibility, moving on, getting better process.
Yeah.
That's what it's meant to do.
Wow. Well, we're going to talk all about it. We've got a great show lined out for you guys out there listening. We'll be right back with Dr. Art Markman and Kip Watson. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
These are my confessions. Just when I thought I said all I can say, my chick on the side says she got one on the way. These are my confessions.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break.
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Kip Watson in studio with me and Dr. Art Markman, PhD, on the line with us. He is the Annabelle Iron Worsham Centennial Professor of Psychology and Marketing at the University of Texas at Austin. He currently serves as a member of the Editorial Board of Cognitive Psychology, and he is the author of Bring Your Brain to Work, and he is a contributor to Psychology Today. Always a pleasure. How are you doing today, Dr. Markman?
Oh, I'm doing great, Bernadette. Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, I love talking to you. I really do. And I love, love, love this subject today. I do so much. Gratitude, it's so important. But gratitude may increase self-control. So I guess there's a new study that suggests that people who feel grateful resist the urge to cheat. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, so this was really cool. So as you point out, gratitude is a wonderful emotion, and we know that, you know, for in a variety of different ways. But one of the things that it does is it increases our sense of commitment to other people, our sense of connection to other people. And so what the researchers in this study did was they gave people a chance to reflect on gratitude or happiness, but not happiness related to gratitude, or just to write about some neutral topic. So they got three different groups. And then they gave people an opportunity to cheat. So for example, they did a thing where they had people go to what looked like an outside website where it would flip a coin, and if the coin came up heads, then they'd get one payment, but if it came up tails, they were going to get another payment, and they had to report what the coin flip came out to be. In fact, the website was set up by the experimenters so that it always came up tails the first time, so you were going to get the lower payment.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so if people said they got a heads on the first flip, then they were cheating. And what they found was that the people who talked about their gratitude towards others were less likely to cheat, significantly less likely to cheat than the people who either expressed their happiness or just wrote about a neutral topic. So it really was this idea that, you know, when you're feeling connected to the people around you, then you recognize a little bit more that cheating is actually something that reduces that connection to other people. And so it reduces that, you know, and so you want to feel that obligation. So it was a very cool, I think, result.
That's an interesting study. It really is. And do all humans have a tendency to cheat?
You know, the research suggests that at one level or another, all humans seem to do it. I mean, you know, there might be somebody out there who never cheats on anything, but, you know, at least in small things, when there's very little chance that you're going to get caught at it, and the stakes seem really low, and it's not going to be a huge blow to your own self-image, that you might do something that's not appropriate. I mean, you know, people will take a pen from work, you know, or something like that. So take a little bit more than perhaps they're owed from something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's pretty common to see people cheating at least a little bit.
Hmm.
Not that everybody's going to do something huge. And these opportunities to cheat in these studies weren't, you know, defrauding a company of millions of dollars. But I think, you know, we all act ethically, reasonably ethically most of the time, but nobody's perfect.
Yeah. I'm hearing my mother right now. She used to say cheaters never win and winners never cheat.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, it's again, I think it's, you know, most of the time we want to do things that create trust with other people, but people get away with stuff. You know, we do that. We take one extra candy bar than we were supposed to. They ask you to take only one dessert and you take two, you know.
Yeah.
Or at least another bite or two when you know you should have stopped.
Well, you know, Dr. Markman, I don't know if you heard the opening or not. We were talking about the Catholic Church, and I was raised Catholic my whole life. And I have to say, like, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I don't know if I've ever really cheated because... I'm not saying I'm perfect. Don't get me wrong. Anybody out there listening, like, oh, Bernadette, Little Miss Goody Two Shoes. But I really feel like that being held accountable at an early age prevented me from never wanting to cheat because it's wrong.
Yeah. No, listen, I think we all have pretty strong self-guides. And in those situations in which we do things that violate our obligations to other people, if you have that early training like that, when you do something like that, you will feel really bad about it. I think it's, you know, guilt is a wonderful emotion, shame not so much, but guilt is a really valuable emotion to have. So, you know, I think that you know, if we look broadly at the definitions of the ways that we do things that are sort of cheating, like, I mean, cheating can be things like taking more than I'm owed, but it can, but if we think also about just the kinds of, you know, small white lies that we tell each other, no, you look great. You know, nobody's 100% truthful to in all of their dealings. We can't be.
I guess when I think about cheating, I think about money. You know, I would never cheat anybody out of a nickel.
I don't think I cheat people out of money. I think in my life I've probably, you know, taken an extra space in a board game or something, you know.
Yeah.
I think that there are things with lower stakes, but if you do look at the studies, I mean, Dan Ariely, for example, has done a lot of studies on cheating behavior, and you know, if you give people in studies an opportunity to take a little bit more payment for a study than they're owed, a substantial number of people, usually more than half, will actually do that.
Wow. Well, so how may gratitude increase self-control? What's the connection there?
So if you think about what is it that would stop you from doing the wrong thing when you're really tempted to do it, some of it, it has to do with, you know, the feeling that you're being watched by others, which can stop you, and feeling gratitude is one of the things it does is to reinforce that idea that I'm connected to everybody. And the more that I feel like I'm connected, there are two things that that does for me. One is it gives me this sense that, you know, there are lots of other people out there somebody might be watching. But the other thing that it does is it helps you to recognize the consequences of cheating a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when people do cheat, they cheat in what they think of as victimless crimes. You know, if I take a pen from work, well, you know, who's, I mean, it's not like that pen was going to be a matter of life and death to mm-hmm. other people. Mm-hmm. But to the extent that I do something that is, that I really shouldn't have done, it has consequences for other people. There's yeah. going to be less money or fewer pens or whatever it is available mm-hmm. for other things. And to the extent that I recognize that my actions are connected to the actions of everybody else, that gratitude makes me less likely to want to do something to disrupt other people's lives.
Gotcha. Well, you know, why is gratitude so important? You know, I feel like I think I know because I do like a gratitude journal, and I swear, like it gives me, I don't know, I feel like it gives me a gift every day when I do it in return.
Yeah, gratitude is so valuable. And one of the reasons that it's valuable is particularly when you're feeling a little down, you can, when you feel down, you often also start to feel alone. You know, and you're mm-hmm. you're the only one who's going through this. And one of the things that, that gratitude does that's so powerful is it reinforces your connection to other people. Because when most of the things that you're grateful for are things that other people were involved in, things that people did for you that they didn't have to do, that advanced your life in some valuable way. Mm-hmm. And when you recognize the things that other people have done for you, you recognize you're not alone in the world. And that whatever bad thing that's going on right now is going to pass, and it's going to pass in part because there are other people who are out there looking out for you, mm-hmm. and that can sometimes that's the thing you need to get through the day.
Yeah, I'm hearing my mother again. This too shall pass. Yeah. You know, I have gratitude, you know, for my mother and father, what great parents they were. I think of them often, more so now than ever as I'm getting a little older, and thankful and have gratitude for what kind of a childhood I did have. Instead of focusing on the negative things that happened, focusing on the positive things that my parents gave to me. But in any relationship, I think you need to have gratitude. And so I'm going to ask you, as the PhD, in the room, you know, why is it so important in a relationship to have gratitude?
You know, that's so important. In relationships with people you're closest to, it is easy to be focused on the small tasks in the here and now. And when you're paying attention to what needs to be done today, a lot of times the things that you need to do today involve clearing out obstacles and sometimes even smoothing out differences of opinion, meaning that you end up focusing a little bit on the negatives in your day-to-day interactions, which can make it hard for you to recognize or put into the background all of the wonderful, positive, joyous, satisfying things about that relationship. Mm-hmm. And by expressing gratitude to the people who you have close relationships with, part of what you're doing is reminding all you and them of the beautiful things that are part of that relationship. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That because, you know, one of the things we know about close relationships is that if the ratio of positive to negative comments gets too low, so mm-hmm. you have too many negative comments for each positive one, that the relationship suffers. And so expressing a little gratitude is a way of bringing just a little bit more positivity into that relationship in ways that can help you through the hard times.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we've kind of been talking about the Catholic Church, bringing them into the conversation, and because I was raised Catholic, and I think this is an important message for people out there raising families. Oftentimes, you know, I can remember being a kid and saying the Hail Mary faster than anybody in the room just to get through it. I just wanted to get through it because there was like 50 of them, you know. And the Lord's Prayer to this day is still one of my favorite prayers because I think it's so important to forgive others as they forgive you. But there's so many lessons, and I think one of the most important lessons that includes gratitude is gratitude for those moments in time, those making those memories and those connections with my siblings and my parents that I probably wouldn't have had we not had to sit down and say the rosary at night, especially around the holidays.
Yeah. You know, ritual and tradition is such an important part of that kind of family experience, because that's something that you will share forever. And the beauty of it, too, is that many of those rituals surround holidays.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that does is on a yearly basis brings you mentally nearer to who you were and who you were with at those holiday times in the past, which is really a beautiful thing. And I think that you know, we live in an era now in which it's hard to stay close to tradition. There's a lot of temptation. Families move apart.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to say, well, we're going to create new traditions. These are antiquated. They don't make sense for the modern world. The value in tradition is that prospect that you can actually see that continuity across your life and see that connection with the people who are closest to you, mm-hmm. your family, and then those friends who become like family because they also end up as part of those rituals.
Yeah. I feel like I want to cry. Seriously, it's because it does stir such beautiful emotion, so many beautiful memories of my childhood. Yeah. And there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of, you know, family trauma, too. I grew up with a brother that was schizophrenic. But it's funny. I don't remember those times like I remember, you know, they've kind of like faded away. But the thing that I remember is all the beautiful times that we had together because of that ritualism, like you said. And those traditions, they mean everything. And I really wish more people today would embrace more traditions and keep them alive, because I do feel that that's what keeps families strong.
Oh, absolutely. And when you have, you know, when you have people in your family who've passed, you know, I lost my younger brother 15 years ago, but when I engage in rituals now that are related to ones that I engaged in with him as we were growing up, I still feel him there, right? He's still, because he's now a vivid part of the memories of those things. And so it's not just that it binds you to the people who are still present in your life. It also creates that connection to your past that I think is an incredibly important part of that continuity of life.
I couldn't agree more. And as usual, it's always such a pleasure to be on the air with you. I feel this was such a beautiful segment, and I thank you for being a part of it today here on One Life Radio.
Well, thank you, Bernadette. It is always fun to talk to you, and I look forward to doing it again.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. You have a good day. That was Dr. Art Markman. He is a contributor to Psychology Today and a PhD. We'll be right back with Kip Watson. We're going to be talking about self-help or self-destruction. You be the judge. Stay tuned, everyone.
Just anybody. Help. You know I need someone.
Help.
When I was younger, so much younger than today.
I can hear my older sisters playing this album when I was a kid. Oh my gosh. Wow. Bringing back memories. Changed my mind. Opened up the door.
Help me if you can. I'm feeling down.
Do you guys know the song, Navi?
I know.
Aviana? I know. They weren't born yet. Not even close.
Not even close.
I don't even know what year the song came out, but I was teeny tiny.
Who is it? Wait, what? Did you just
say
that?
I don't even know if
did
I was.
Did you just say? What did you just say?
What did she say?
Who is
she
this?
Who this is?
What? What?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I think I just had a moment. Oh, my head.
Oh, my head. It's only one of the most popular songs ever in the history of music. So, you know, I don't know what year it came out, but I remember my sister playing this album when I was a kid, and a lot of Rolling Stones and, like, The Who and stuff like that. So.
1965. The Beatles.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Hey.
Okay. All right, everyone.
Got to recover.
I knew this one. I got it.
Okay. You got it. Well, good. All right. Well, I need some help here.
Yeah.
I need to get. Oh my gosh, you guys are blowing my mind. Okay, so I want to let everyone know because I've got my celery root mashed potato recipe that I'm putting in the newsletter. It's going out right after the show for Thanksgiving. If you want to make really amazing, like the best mashed potato recipe ever, it doesn't really change the flavor. It enhances the flavor of the potatoes, and you got to get organic. In fact, she needs to adjust that on the recipe because I think when I gave it to her, I didn't tell her organic celery root because celery is if you don't get organic, has a lot of pesticides in it,
I had never even seen a celery root.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to
like
try this recipe.
It looks like a small, dirty brain with green stalks coming out of it. is the best way to describe it. It looks like a brain that's been rolled in the dirt.
It looks like a weird turnip almost.
Yeah. But anyway, but it's a great recipe for the holidays coming up. So go to oneliferadio.com to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, or you can go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. And also, just a big shout out to the sponsors that support the show, that bring this programming to you. Great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get it at Vitamin Shoppe or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King, or you can go straight to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. And of course, Enviromedica, such a fine product. I'm thinking of Terraflora. They have several. They actually have a new one. It's a spray magnesium with melatonin in it to help you sleep. Mm. And they have the clay bath that pulls years of toxins out of your body. They have a lot of great products. You can get them at Enviromedica.com or on Amazon.com. A lot of people have been ordering on Amazon as well. Terraflora is one of the best probiotics on the market, if not the best. Check it out, as I said. And of course, Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal, Thorn Research. We have a dispensary, and not dispensary meaning marijuana, okay, a dispensary to buy supplements at oneliferadio.com/
Yep.
Thorn. Is it just oneliferadio.com/Thorn, T-H-O-R-N-E. And of course, No Evil Foods, award-winning. Their No Evil Foods is making meat from nothing but plants. They are one of the very few plant-based meats that I feed my family, and they use simple organic ingredients that you can read and find in your own kitchen. And who am I? Oh, Crazy Water.
Crazy Water.
Crazy Water.
The
call me crazy.
They
call us crazy. We don't mind, but it really is. If you're going to buy a bottled water, it is one of the best. And they actually have a sparkling water now, kind of like a San Pellegrino.
Oh, yeah, I saw.
Except it's
nice.
Local. And nice. It's really good. And it's full of minerals, and your brain needs those minerals to function well. And, of course, Sun Warrior has a new CBD oil product out, and they also...
Keto
Clean. So if you're on the ketogenic diet and you want to eat plant-based a couple of days a week for your health and the environment, check it out. It is called Keto Clean. Is that the name of it?
I believe so.
I believe it is. Anyway, check it out. Am I getting everything? Oh,
and we're having a party.
We're having a big party, and I love parties, and especially around the holidays, November 14th from 6 to 9 p.m. It's a meet and greet. Everyone from the show will be there at V Eats, featuring Veg World Magazine as well. They'll all be there, and it's just a celebration of life. There will be cocktails and lots of delicious food. We've already selected. You and Navi and I went and selected the menu. So you don't want to miss it. Everyone will be there. So it's at V Eats, which is in Trinity Grove. What street is it on? What's that?
Ooh, I'm
is
not it, sure.
You know, it's right at the bridge where the white bridge is.
Yeah, the Margaret Hunthill one.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll put it out when we find out.
It's on Golden Lane.
Oh, I like that. Golden Lane. What a nice. I didn't know that was the name of that.
Yeah, G-U-L-D-E-N.
Okay. I love it. All right. And I love Kip Watson. She's been on the show for a very long time. She is a licensed professional counselor and supervisor. She's a sports psychology professional with 2 master's degrees, nearly 20 years of experience with athletes, coaches, families, and corporate teams. She is a certified high-performance coach, a former professional athlete with a big fat ring on her finger for winning.
Oh,
you don't
today.
Have it on right now. Where is it? And she won the national championship with the Women's Football Association.
World Championship.
Mm-hmm. And she's a mom of 2 in college, and you can find her on Twitter at KipFit. Today we're talking about self-help or self-destruction. Modern therapy could be hurting you rather than helping you. Mm. You be the judge. Okay, Kip, That's a bold statement to suggest that therapy or psychology could be hurting us rather than helping us. Help us to understand your stance on this.
I know. But leave it to me.
Leave it to Beaver.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, experts, while the intention may be good, it can actually be damaging emotional, mental, spiritual health. I mean, you talk about this in other contexts in terms of, you know, like physical medicine.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to talk about it in terms of psychological, spiritual, mental, emotional medicine. And, you know, when I was in grad school, studied, all kinds of theories about human psychology, human behavior, counseling. And would like today, there is more than 300 counseling approaches.
Wow.
And most people may not know that. And
really?
Sometimes it leads to more confusion than clarity.
Uh-huh. What do you think about all this new drug therapy like ayahuasca and all that?
And ketamine.
You know I don't.
You don't?
No, I would have to read up to comment on that.
Well, it's a lot of people are doing that as a replacement for psychology, and I don't know how safe it is. I personally don't think I would ever do it, but I don't judge people that do because I've done other things. But it is bold to suggest that therapy or psychology could be hurting us rather than helping us. What else do you want us to understand about your stance on this?
Well, I think not all therapists are bad. Not all psychologists are bad. A lot of them are doing great work, but you need to do your homework. And this is, you don't just, I always suggest, and I always think it's important that you take three, perhaps off your list of insurance providers.
Okay.
Call all three and ask questions. Mm-hmm. But even those that are on insurance providers, don't just take the word for it that they're on the list, that they're good, effective, and experienced counselors, because a lot of counselors are not on insurance panels anymore.
Yeah, no, I know.
Because you can't make a living, you know, that way.
Getting shortchanged by the insurance companies, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know... How can this change? What do we need to understand?
Well, I think, you know, this is actually a quote from a guy that I love this quote. It was more than 80 years ago. F.H. Garrison. He's a medical historian. And so he said this: whenever many different remedies are used for disease, it usually means we know very little about the disease.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that, and you can, and that registers with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And that was said over 80 years ago. So you put a lot of trust in us. So I think the self-help industry, psychotherapy, it is somewhat built on guesswork.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it's also built on the personal biases of the therapist.
Yeah.
And their experience. And then masked in a lot of scientific jargon.
Yeah.
And you really, if you're going to trust somebody with the innermost messiness of your life.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure you're getting a quality therapist.
Oh, gosh. I have to share this story with you. I haven't ever shared this, and I've never talked about it before on the air, but about 10 years ago, I was going through a major divorce, and myself and the children were extremely distraught. And I didn't know what to do, but I don't even know where I found this woman, but I think she was recommended by somebody. But I so started, you know, the therapy with her and, you know, just telling her my story, getting her, you know, she listened. But I remember at one point I was in a session with her and we were just talking about things. Well, back in the far back of my property, there was a big wood pile. So I had to have the wood pile moved because my dogs in the back at the time got attacked by snakes. And she said to me, she actually said this to me. She was the therapist. She said, oh, the energy, you're attracting bad energy onto the property. I'm like, what? And I left there thinking, you are wackadoodles. You are a total nutbag, you know, saying that to me. Like, what a crazy stance. And to think that I was paying her to help me, for her to think that those snakes just hadn't been under that wood pile for 10 years, you know, raising their babies. Somehow I was responsible for it. And I thought, what in the hell is out there, you know, giving people advice? Interesting, right? Like, is that the craziest story you've ever heard?
Well, it was not obviously therapeutically helpful to you.
Oh, no. No, she freaked me out. And it was wrong. And it was stupid. She was stupid. Really.
Well, but I have a number of lies, and we'll hit maybe as many as we can.
Okay.
that I want people to consider any time that they're thinking about getting some therapy and any time they're in the bookstore thinking about picking up a self-help book.
Oh, wow. Okay. I love it. I love it. Stay tuned, everyone. More coming up with Kip Watson. We'll be right back. Well, if you got the poison, I've got the remedy. The remedy is the experience. This is a dangerous liaison. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette. I'm in studio here with Kip Watson, and we are talking about self-help or self-destruction. Modern therapy could be hurting you rather than helping. You be the judge, okay? Let's talk, Kip, about this quickly, about the lies that we tell ourselves.
Okay, so the first one I'm going to cover is lie number one. People are basically good. That is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
People are basically good, and we kind of have been talking about this, and I know this show wouldn't exist if that were actually true.
Right.
And it's very common in the U.S., not so common everywhere else. But how many times have you heard when somebody does something wrong or even a criminal, and somebody says, oh, well, you know, Janie was a good person, or mm-hmm. Johnny didn't mean to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mistake.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well...
I know we've had this discussion before. That I remember it. In fact, I spoke with someone about it recently.
Okay.
About you. You said human beings are inherently evil. I said no, they're inherently good. Remember?
Yes.
I'm starting to come over to your side.
Yeah.
I've had a few things happen lately that makes me think that human beings are inherently evil.
Yeah, that's true. Now, do we have the capacity to do good? Yes. Do we have the capacity to think right, do good, be honest, as we talked about earlier in the mm-hmm. show? Absolutely. But it's a basic premise of most human-made or man-made psychological theory is that people are basically good. And that's incorrect anthropology of humankind.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. No. Well, and lie number two.
Oh, gosh. We got to jump right into lie number two.
Yeah, because we're short on time. We're going to continue this, though, next time you're on.
Yeah. Okay, so lie number two, you need more self-esteem or confidence in order to be okay.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a good one. Say what you're thinking. Come on.
Okay.
We got to talk about this again. We do, because this is such a great subject.
Each one of these could be a show, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Let's take a selfie.
Yeah. We'll have that. That one's too hard to explain in 2 seconds, but just know that it's a lie.
Yeah. Lie number three.
So tease you for coming back to hear more.
Yeah. You don't want it to. We got
Well, lie number three is a common one we hear. You can't love others until you love yourself.
Oh, I
love that's a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of BS.
No, I agree with you. I do. I do. And I wish we had more time. So next time you're on the air, this is our subject.
We're going to go in deep.
We're going deep into the water. Right. I love doing the show. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Thank you, Kip Watson. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and be contagiously positive.